get situated here. Let's go ahead and pray before I start. Father, we just thank you for this time to gather in your presence and to worship and to fellowship with you, Lord. Lord, even as we're speaking, all of those under the sound of my voice, God, I ask that you just begin to make things new. Lord, things that look dead and things that look like they're not growing and things that look like they're not in your plan, Lord, we ask that you just begin to make them new this morning. Make beautiful things this morning. Let your spirit speak through me, Lord, and in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Catch my breath. It's a lot this morning. So we're going to talk about gardens this morning. And let me tell you my experience with gardens. It's about this much, but my husband is a gardener. And this summer when he said we were going to make a garden, I said, all right, okay. How much work do I have to do? He said, well, it's a garden. You got to work in it. Okay. He said, you'll like it. Okay. If you know me, though, I don't like to get dirty. I don't like to be outside. I don't like bugs. And so a garden was not at the top of my list. My dad told me if I got an education, I didn't have to do manual labor. My husband said that's a lie. And so did working in a nonprofit. So I did some manual labor this summer, though he did the most of it. But I learned some things in the garden this summer. How many of you have a garden at home of some sort? Right. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. It wasn't what I expected it to be. If you grew up at my house, you put seeds in the ground, and sometimes you remembered to water them, and sometimes you didn't, and you just prayed and hoped that it would work out. And we didn't have good dirt at our house, and so we didn't have a whole lot of gardens. And so one of the first things that happened when we got gardens is we have these raised beds, and then we had buckets and different things that we had stuff in, is my husband got down in the dirt, and he made sure we had good dirt. What's the difference in the dirt? It's dirt, right? Dirt's dirt. Dirt's not dirt. And that's a little bit about what we're going to talk about today, is that when you think something is dead, dead dirt brings life. There's something about the dirt that brings life. And so he composted this summer, and he's going to hate me because I'm talking about him. He composted this summer, and he put worms in the dirt, and he got out there, and he checked the pH level and that other level. I don't know what that is. And he put stuff in it, and he worked it around until the dirt brought life, because he planted a seed, and then he worked the dirt. And then when the seed began to grow, then he tended to the plants. And when we tended to the plants, then we had some issues because there weren't any bees. And so he hand-pollinated the corn so that we would have corn. And he moved things into the light. And we had a garden. An overabundance in our garden. And so sometimes when we think about a garden, we think about planting a garden. That's what I thought. We plant a garden and then we just let it be. And you got a garden, right? But there's a difference in planting a garden and cultivating or growing a garden. And what God wants us to be is a garden that's growing, not a garden that's planted. And so often in our Christian lives, we find ourselves in a place and we feel like we've been planted there, but we're not producing anything. It's not good dirt. And so we're planted there, but we're dying on the vine. There's no gardener. There's nothing there to make us grow. the dirt isn't nutrient rich. And there might be sunshine and there might be water, but if we're just planted somewhere, just staying there because that's where we're planted and we got a little bit of roots, maybe we'll grow. But if there's growth without production, it's not a good garden. And so this morning we're going to talk about a garden. When we plant a garden, sometimes we just pick a patch of ground and we drop our seeds and we pray for good growing weather. And maybe we water it and maybe we might throw some Miracle-Gro on it, though if you're at our house, Miracle-Gro is a bad word. And so we plant that garden. But someone that's trying to grow a garden, the gardener's involved in every step. He primes the soil with the best nutrients. The nutrients are added as things begin to grow, and at each step of that plant, he knows what needs to go into the ground. And so he adds something new. Weeds are pulled. Things that would choke the life out of the plant, they're pulled out. They're tossed to the side. Fruit is produced because the gardener makes sure it's produced and nothing is left to chance. There's a plan when you're growing a garden. And so often I think that we find ourselves in this this place where we want consumer Jesus. I'm a consumer. If I can buy it, I would much rather buy it than make it. And I'm trying to change my way of thinking into being a producer. And we want a consumer Jesus. We want to be planted where we're at, or we want to stay where we're at, and we want Jesus to just start giving us things. So we can just pick that up, or it's just right there, that's easy to do. So that's what we'll do. But God wants us to change our thinking, I think, a little bit. Not so much of a consumer Christianity, but more of a producer Christianity. We need to make sure that wherever we're at, wherever we're growing, we're producing fruit. Because what happens when we produce fruit is that there's a little thing called a volunteer plant. Something new I learned this summer. When we produce fruit, seeds fall out of that. And they go back into the ground. And it's good ground. And so they begin to grow. And so when we quit being producers, or when we quit being consumers, where we just go and we pick it up off the shelf, that'll feed us for the day. But when we become producers, not only are we taking care of ourselves, and not only are we growing and producing for God, but then we're also planting seeds for someone else to grow in some good dirt. And what happens is when that plant is done, is it dies. And what does it do? It goes back into the earth. And when it goes back into the dirt, the nutrients from that plant seep back out into the dirt. So the seed that it dropped can now grow and produce something new. And so we need to change our thinking from a consumer Christianity to a producing Christianity. So we're going to talk about the four things that a garden needs to grow. It needs good dirt. Right? We need to have good dirt. We need sunlight and water, and we need a gardener. Because if I throw my seeds out in a patch of ground somewhere and I leave it and I never come back, I might get something, or I might not. But if there's a gardener that tends to the garden, he's sure, because he's got a plan of what's going to grow. So let's start today by turning to Genesis chapter 2. Verses 7 through 9. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so what we find in Genesis chapter 2 is God is resting. And in chapter 7, he says, chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the garden the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So first, he makes something come up out of the dust, right? Something come up out of that good dirt. And then he breathes life into it. And then he puts them in the garden. And in the garden are trees. And what do the trees produce? They produce food. This is a garden with a gardener, right? God didn't put Adam in some place and say, I'm going to plant you here. Good luck. I hope you grow. He cultivated him. He breathed life into him. And then he put him in a garden with a plan that was producing something. Are you in a place where you can grow and produce something? Is there production around you? You know, when we're looking for a job, when we're looking for friends, when we're looking for a church, when we're looking for a relationship, what are they producing? What are they producing? Are they in a garden that's growing? Or are they just stagnant? Are they planted in their own patch somewhere just hoping that the garden will grow? So let's talk about the dirt. So there are different kinds of dirt. There's good dirt that produces gardens that just keep growing. And that dirt comes from two things. So good dirt comes from death, and it comes from crap. Bear with me, okay? It comes from death, and it comes from crap. So something that my husband did in our garden this summer is he put worms down in the garden. And there's different kinds of worms. I learned this last night. I thought we only had one kind of worm. I spent all summer thinking there was just one worm. There's not. There's not. As you can tell, again, I know nothing about gardens. It's been quite the learning experience. So there's different kinds of worms. So Eric told me red wigglers stay at the top of the dirt. And night crawlers get down deep in the dirt. And what those worms do is they eat, and then they push it back out. And what's pushed back out is good dirt, right? So what are they eating? Well, if you're at our house, they're eating compost. They're eating what we put in the compost pile. And that's what I want to talk about, us making some good dirt this morning. It's so often in our lives, I think that because we live in a consumer Christianity, because we live in a consumer world, we're used to throwing things out, right? You're done with that, you throw it away. The scraps from the table, you throw it away. The eggshells, you throw them away. And so we throw all of these things out. But what we can do with those things is put them in a compost pile. And when we put them in the compost pile, and it heats up, and we turn them over, and we let the worms loose, like, I don't know, we let them loose, we threw them in there, right? Let the worms do what the worms do. But when we do that, we get good dirt. And in our lives, sometimes there's things that we think are trash. There's a lot of things that we don't want to bring to the garden. We don't want to bring to the gardener. We don't want the other plants to know about our bad dirt. We don't want them to know about our trash. But you came, as we found out in Genesis, out of the dirt, which makes you organic. And if you're an organic material, you can put that dirt back in the compost pile. And what happens is the gardener takes what you think is crap, is trash, is horrible, something that you have to hide in a black bag and send it away. And he takes that and he transforms it into something new. And then he takes that dirt and he moves it back into the garden. And something else is planted in it. And our dirt, when we bring it to the garden and when we bring it to the gardener, we're making what seems like trash, what seems like dead dirt, into a life-giving, all things new substance. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to go down to verse 28. And verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." He makes all things, not just the things we want to bring to the garden, not just the things we think are acceptable for other people to see, but he takes all things and makes them work together according to his purpose. So even your trash, you can bring to the garden because he makes all things. Everybody say all things. He makes all things work together for his purpose. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17 he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things," everybody say all things, "have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation." Not imputing their trespasses to them. So he's not holding your trash against you. Right? He's transforming your trash into something new. Because he makes all things work together for his purpose. Let's go to Colossians 1. I didn't give you this because I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. So let's go to Colossians 1, verse 18. We look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence, and he holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything and everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. So roomy that everything finds its proper place in him without crowding. When you're in the garden, if you've got your stuff too close together, it doesn't grow right. It takes some planning to see where you're going to put it, right? It takes some planning to think about how high does this grow? Where does its roots spread out? When we bring it to the gardener, he puts everything in its proper place without crowding. He gives you room to grow. Everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He says it gets properly fixed and put together in vibrant harmonies. All because of his death. What do we say makes good dirt? Death. When he died for us, when he was on the cross, he was making some good dirt. He was putting something back into the earth that was missing. He was adding some nutrient to the ground so that we could grow. He put his blood, his sweat, and his tears into this garden. And those who pass before us can add dirt to the garden. You know, I think about Pap. He was a gardener. He was out there in the garden. He was working it. But before he passed, he dropped some seeds into some hearts and into some places. And then when he passed, he added nutrient back to the dirt. And so there he is. He's prepared a place for us to grow. And where did he put this church? Right smack dab in the middle of his garden, right? Because where can we grow? Where can we produce something? In the garden. In the garden. So let's talk about sun and water. And we're just going to briefly talk about these before we move back onto the gardener to close today. But sun and water. Everybody knows plants need sun and water. Even I knew plants need sun and water. Probably the only thing I knew that plants needed was sun and water, right? So when we're talking about the garden, though, of our lives, and when we're talking about this garden and in this house and in Christianity and in our relationship with God, when we talk about sun and water, we're talking about something a little bit different. We're not just talking about the big yellow ball in the sky. We're talking about some sun, S-O-N, shine. And we're talking about some water, some spirit. And where do we get some sun, S-O-N, shine, and some spirit? Everywhere. You know where I find that I feel it the most? In the middle of my praise and worship. In the middle of my prayer. And we assume a position when we're worshiping. Right? I do, so I'll use myself as an example. Arms out, face turned up, soaking in that sun and that water. Have you ever seen a plant at night? The leaves just kind of curl up or it just kind of wilts to the side. But when the sun is out, that plant stretches wide. And it opens up, absorbing every molecule of that sunshine, because that's what makes it grow. And what we don't see from the top looking down is that as it's stretching out this way, its roots are stretching out this way. And those roots can stretch down and they can grow and it can get firmly planted in that good soil and it can get that nutrient it needs. Why? Because the dirt is good. Because the dirt is aerated. Because there was some animals in there that had crap that came out, right? They ate the organic material that we didn't want anybody to see. And then they took it back out. And then that dirt has air in it. It's easy for the roots to move. And so when the sun is out and we're being watered, and as we're lifting up our hands and we're turning our face to the sun, what's happening is not only are we growing this way, and not only are we soaking up, and not only are we getting something that's going to help us grow high, but it's going to help us grow low. And we're going to get our roots down into that ground. And the more our roots grow down into that ground, and the more they edge out, and the more they expand, the more fruit we're going to be able to produce. Because when the winds come, We live on a ridge. It's windy. When the winds come, the roots are way down deep in the ground, and it's not going to knock them over. If you just plant something wherever and the roots don't grow, the first time there's a storm, the first time something happens, that plant is in trouble. And so not only do we need to grow high, but we need to grow low. Let's go to Psalms 113, Carlin. And we're just going to read through Psalms 113 here. Hallelujah. I'm back reading in the message. You who serve God, praise God, just to speak his name, just to remember God is a blessing, now and tomorrow and always. From east to west, from dawn to dusk, keep lifting all your praises to God. What is that time frame from dawn to dusk? That's the whole day. That's when the sun's out, right? So the whole time the sun is shining, what does it say to do? From dawn to dusk, keep lifting your praises to God. God is higher than anything and anyone, outshining everything you can see in the skies. You ever looked up into the sky in the middle of July and the sun is so bright that you just can't see anything else? He's outshining everything you can see in the skies. Who can compare with God our God, so majestically enthroned, surveying his magnificent heavens and earth? He picks up the poor from out of the dirt, rescues the wretched who've been thrown out with the trash. Let's read that scripture one more time. He picks up the poor from out of the dirt, and he rescues the wretched who've been thrown out with the trash. Let that sink in a minute. Those plants that didn't have strong roots, the gardener goes over and he picks them back up out of the dirt. And if you catch them quick enough, sometimes you can replant them. But where do you replant them? You replant them in good soil. And you let the roots grow. Let them get deeply planted. And he rescues the wretched who've been thrown out with the trash. Never, never should anything or anyone be thrown out with the trash. It's all organic. It's all compostable. Because we're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. So he doesn't take your dirt and then bring it into the garden and say, hey, everybody, look at her trash. Let's start pulling things out of the trash bag. And everybody's, no, what he does is he takes your trash and he puts it in the compost pile. And then he covers it up and he stirs it around and he adds some more things. And when he pulls that back out, your trash is no longer trash anymore. It's good dirt. And he puts it back in the garden so others can grow. And so he rescues the wretched who've been thrown out with the trash, and he seats them among the honored guests, a place of honor among the brightest and the best. And he gives childless couples a family, and he gives them joy as the parents of children. Hallelujah. So not only does he take the plant that had no roots, and he picks it up out of the bad dirt, and he moves it over here, and not only does he take your trash and move it somewhere else, but then he seats you among the honored guests. He plants you down in his garden. Have you all ever looked at the pews here? Looking at them right now. It's kind of set up like a row garden, right? And so we need to make some space in our rows. Because I'm really feeling that God is going to be bringing some people who have some trash that they need to bring to the gardener. And I really feel that God is going to be bringing some people that had no roots in the poor dirt. And he's picking them back up. And he's bringing them. And he's sitting them with the honored guests in the garden. Because there's a place for everybody in the garden. There's a place without crowding in the garden. God provides a place for you to grow a little bit without feeling like you're intimidated. There's a place for you to grow in the garden where your roots can go down deep, where you didn't have roots before, because there's a place in the garden. And that place was planned for you before you even knew it. Because he was taking some dirt and he was making a plan and he was spreading it out and he was saying, I'm going to put you here and you're going to grow and your roots are going to grow deep and you're going to drop some seed all around you. And when that seed drops, somebody else is going to grow and they're going to grow and they're going to drop some seed and then somebody else is going to grow until we have a garden that is producing something to what? To bring life. To feed the hungry. To feed the gardener. So let's talk about the gardener. I'm going to go to John chapter 20. We're going to go to verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head and the other at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laid. And they said to her, Woman, why do you weep? And they took my master, she said, and I don't know where they put him. And she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. And Jesus said to her, Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for? And she, thinking that he was the gardener, said, Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him, so I can care for him. And Jesus said, Mary. And turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, Rabboni, meaning teacher. So who did Mary think that Jesus was? The gardener. And any time we see this depicted in a picture, right? Mary's standing there and she's all sad and she's weeping. And this is this horror that is in her life right now, and she's overwhelmed by this. And so she's standing there like this, and then there's Jesus in his white robes, and there's this aura of glory all around him. And I wonder if that wasn't quite the case. Because the tomb was in And so when Mary comes to the tomb, I'm wondering if there wasn't somebody she thought was the gardener down checking the dirt. This was a scene that was familiar to me this summer as I would come home, as I would look down in the garden when I pulled up, and my husband would be down in the dirt, right? He's checking the dirt. He's checking the plants. I wonder if Mary didn't walk by Jesus and see him down in the dirt. That's just the gardener. And so she walked to the tomb and she looked in and she didn't see him. And so she turned around and who she thought was the gardener is standing up now. Maybe he has a little dirt under his fingers. Maybe there's a little something he's brushing off his shirt. And she says, where have you put him? She's looking for her master. And he says her name, and she knows who he is. But I'm wondering if what Jesus wasn't doing at that moment is 3 days before there had been a death. And there was a whole lot of crap going on at that moment. And I'm wondering if after 3 days, he didn't come back to the garden and get down in the dirt and say, something can grow here now. There's life in this dirt now. That death was worth it because there can be life in this dirt. And I'm going to bring heaven to this earth because there's life in this dirt, because there was a death that went back into this dirt, because something happened in those 3 days that made this dirt produce life. And when he stood up and he turned around and he, hey, Mary, I'm over here. I'm just out here tending my garden. I'm just over here making sure that your roots can grow. Because you're already looking for the sun, but you need somewhere for your roots to grow down. And so the gardener was making sure that the dirt was ready. So often in life, when something is going on around us that we see as a horror, that we see as never being able to get out of this place, we're weeping and we pass by where we really need to be. Because we're not looking for the sun. We're not standing in a position to grow, to let this storm pass us. We are weeping in the night. But from dusk to dawn, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to stretch out my arms to the sun and I'm going to lift my head because there's a gardener right there. And he's made sure that this dirt is good and I've got roots to grow. In this storm that I'm in and this night that I'm in, it's not going to knock me over. It's not going to pull me up. And it's not going to throw me to the side because I found a place. I found a place where my roots can grow, where I can be planted, where I can drop seed, where I can bring life, and where I can receive life. Because I'm not planted somewhere else. I'm being cultivated in a garden. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Did I read that already? Oh, well, let's go back and read the first part of that scripture. Should have just done that all at one time. So Paul, having been sent on special assignment by Christ as part of God's master plan, together with my friend Timothy, I greet the Christians and stalwart followers of Christ who live in Colossae. May everything good from our Father be yours. Our prayers for you are always spilling over into thanksgiving. We can't quit thanking God our Father and Jesus our Messiah for you. We keep getting reports on your steady faith in Christ our Jesus and the love you continuously extend to all Christians. The lines of purpose in your lives never grow slack, tightly tied as they are to your future in heaven, kept taut by hope. The message is as true among you today as when you first heard it. It doesn't diminish or weaken over the time. It's the same all over the world. The message bears fruit and gets larger and stronger, just as it has in you. From the very first day you heard and recognized the truth of what God is doing, you've been hungry for more. It's as vigorous in you now as when you learned it from your friend and close associate, Epaphras. He is one reliable worker for Christ. I could always depend on him. He's the one who told us how thoroughly love had been worked into your lives by the Spirit. Let's go back up. The message bears fruit and gets larger and stronger just as it has in you. How do you get larger and stronger? You're soaking it all up. And how do you soak it all up? You've got roots in the dirt. The dirt that came from death and all your trash. Because God transformed it into something new. And so as long as we've got roots and we're standing in what's been transformed, the message of Christ that's coming out of us, the fruit that's within us, the fruit that we're bearing is growing larger and stronger. And we're really becoming what he wants us to be. Because there's a plan. There's an ultimate plan. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. I'm circling in for a landing.
The gardener leaves behind handfuls of purpose for your life. You know, the whole reasoning in that, in providing for them, they didn't have to plant the garden. You know, there are times we plant our own garden, and there are sometimes we glean from other gardens. And if you see people in need and you leave behind handfuls of purpose, God will bring that, because Ruth went on to be the ancestor of David, who was the ancestor of Christ. And so by leaving handfuls of purpose and providing for Ruth, he was providing for Christ in the end. And sometimes we don't realize what we're providing.
You don't know what you're providing.
You don't have to have a big garden. Now, Aaron had a little garden. It wasn't, good Lord, it wasn't even half the size of a pew. And she brought out bushel baskets of kale and collard greens out here to camp. She didn't have a big garden. No. Don't think that you're insignificant, because you're not.
Every garden is important. Hallelujah. Every garden is important. Because, Tammy, the important part about a garden is not the size of the garden, but it's the bounty that comes from the garden. Because a garden that's in good dirt, a garden who has a gardener, a garden with plants that reach for the sun and the Spirit, they're going to produce something. I'm going to skip Luke chapter 12. Let's go to Luke chapter 8 instead. And we're going to start in verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. And a sower went out to sow his seeds, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" He said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. And now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground, those who are in the good dirt, are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. God's telling us dirt's important. You can plant seeds anywhere. So we talked about earlier. You can plant a garden anywhere. If you can get enough of the ground to move that you can stick a seed in it, you can plant a garden. But unless it has roots, unless it has space to grow, it's not going to produce anything. You don't know where your seeds are falling sometimes. Sometimes we don't know. We don't know what kind of life somebody has when our seeds are falling. We don't know what's going on with them. What we do know is that earlier we read, those that were cast away, the wretched and the poor, what did he do with those who didn't have enough roots in their ground? He picked them up, he rescued them, and he brought them back to good dirt, and he planted them. So just because sometimes somebody seems like they're not receiving, and sometimes we don't want to branch out because we're afraid of the response that we're going to get, or they're so far gone that it's not even going to matter. Plant some seeds. Plant some seeds because the gardener can come back and pick up that plant that looks like it's dying. And he's going to take its trash and he's going to put it in the compost pile for later. And he's going to take that plant and he's going to put it in good dirt and it's going to let its roots grow. He's going to give it. This morning, I just encourage you to look around the garden. Look around your personal garden. Look around this garden. There's some roots in the house this morning. There's some good dirt here. There's some nutrient. There's a gardener that we allow to do his work and to have his plan. And we come and we sit and we worship. And we let the sun shine because our dead dirt can bring life. Don't throw out your trash. It's organic. It's organic. You're organic. Everything about you can be transformed into what